send your questions to us by email while we are in progress. And just email to admin@lemanconsultants, L-E-M-A-N, consultants.com.au. So we can screen it to those on the webinar, and we have good answers to them. Now we are going to pray. Father, we just want to thank you in the name of Jesus for this opportunity that you have given us. For when you created man, you gave him the ability, the power to work, the power to till the ground, the wisdom to produce things and bring out the treasures that are hidden in the earth. Thank you for this grace that you have given to humanity to explore your creation. Father, we just want to give you the glory, and we just submit ourselves to you. We ask for your wisdom. We pray for understanding for those on the webinar and those that are seated here. Lord, that from here we will excel in the work of our hands.
Amen.
And that you will be glorified. Thank in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lee. Again, welcome to everyone. This is the Christian Faith edition of the Workplace Workshop and Webinar. It is sponsored by Leadership Education and Management and is Lehman Consultants. In conjunction with Biblical Management and Leadership, the Bimal Institute and Fren Australia. Our topic today is challenges or struggles at the workplace, trade in business or in academic space, and how God fights for his people. What's going on here at work? Discerning and using divine authority accurately to win your battles. Our workshop facilitator and key speaker is known to us locally on the Gold Coast as a pastor for the last 12 years. Indeed, he has been an ordained minister of the gospel since 1989, starting out in ministry across Africa and to Australia. He also has an ongoing doctoral research in ministry located in the field of practical theology. However, he has a background that not all of us know about. Some may ask, is the pastor trained and experienced to do this? His background is in the workplace, the marketplace, with tertiary qualifications in leadership, marketing, business administration, and management. It is in that professional context that he went through an assessment earlier on in 2006 and was admitted as a professional member of the Australian Institute of Management, AMI, known as the Australian and New Zealand Institute of Managers and Leaders, IML. After 10 years of membership, coupled with a second assessment and upgrading, he became a fellow of the Institute with the designation FIML, that was in June 2016. The fellowship certification states, was admitted as a professional member and through this membership supports and contributes to the development of professional management and leadership. Since then, and through the Institute's community volunteering program, he supports the community as a mentor to managers, leaders, and those aspiring to become board members and CEOs under the Institute's mentoring program. He and his wife, Alishiba, are co-ministers of the gospel. With Alishiba's background in banking, they combine both their skills set for the ministry and their workplace project, Leadership, Education and Management, Lehman Consultants. Please welcome Paul E. Momo.
Thank you, Mary.
Okay, we are all set to go. Well, let me welcome every one of us once again to this workshop, and I hope we get something out of this today. And without further ado, I would like to start by quickly stating three areas we will touch, just in case we run out of time. Just keep that on the table and you can do more. Check things out in the Bible by yourself. But we're going to be looking at God's wisdom and power for the workplace, the marketplace, God's wisdom and power. This year, God said it's a year for his people to take hold of wisdom and power. That's all. It's God for us, and that's all that fixes everything. God's wisdom and power. And the second thing is inspiration and renewal. Inspiration and renewal. If you are in the workplace, if you're in the marketplace, if you're in the academic space, wherever you are dealing with the world out there. The world there can be terrible. Jesus said, be as wise as serpents and harmless as doves, because our power is not in the natural realm. So in the natural realm, we're not going to do it like the world. We are harmless as doves, but we aren't stupid. He said, be wise as serpents and harmless. Okay? Amen? Our power, he will fix that one for us. He will do it. That's why it's a covenant. As we get to see today more, the workplace is a covenant between man, human, and God. We have to understand that. So number one is his wisdom and power. The second thing is our inspiration and renewal. We need to position ourselves. It's not that you're going to work. You can work. You can choose to work, for example. You can work 8 hours non-stop without a little stop to recognize who is your partner. The Lord has given us the Holy Spirit to be our partner. And if you do that even for 2 minutes, you consult. Because you recognize him to be your partner. If you don't, you just walk yourself out like every other human being, let's say 8 hours of the day. But some 2 minutes, some 3 minutes in between your break time, you can consult your partner. And you are really making sure you have a covenant going on there without neglecting the senior partner. So God's wisdom and power, inspiration. We need inspiration and renewal. Those moments are renewal moments. And the third one is we need faith and patience. Faith and what? And patience. Amen. Now, to talk about faith and patience, I have a co-speaker here. And he's an old crocodile. You won't see him, but you're going to learn from him, because Jesus always, he talks with parables and uses natural things. So my co-speaker here, you can't see him, but you can just imagine him, is the old crocodile. And along with him is a young crocodile as well. And they will help us to see some things about faith and patience. I started talking a lot about the crocodile for the past 3 weeks. I read a story about that, and it's really, God began to show me, link it up and say, this is faith, this is patience. See what the old crocodile is doing. What are my people? Where are my people? I said, oh, we are there, Lord. We are willing to learn from the crocodile. Okay? And the other one is inspiration and renewal. We will have to look at the eagle. But we won't have time to talk about that. In fact, I've got Frank. God bless Pastor Frank, one of our co-ministers. He talks so much about the eagle, and one day I have to invite him to come and talk about that, and we won't have the time to do that. But I will take off and talk about the crocodile. It's a big lesson. So it's about the old crocodile who was having a great time napping just by the edge of the waters, and he's floating there, and the young croc comes around and looks at him and says, I heard that you're one of the fiercest hunters around this river side. Tell me your secret. How do you do that? And the old crocodile gave him a reptilian look and closes his eyes and took another nap. Oh, it's time to teach him how we do it, by the way. And this young croc got so frustrated. Look, I'm asking you, and you're not just talking. I don't even believe you are the fiercest hunter, actually. I think they're just lying on you. Let me show you what I can do. So the young croc took off, and he goes around and says, I'm going to just get something and come and prove to him. So he goes out and he finds a catfish, actually two of them. And he returns to the old croc by the waterside and says to him, look at what I have done. I've got this. Are you really the fiercest hunter here? Yeah, it can be. Can be. The old croc opened his eyes, looked at him, and closed his eyes again. The young croc got so confused. He said, in fact, I'm going to hunt for more. So he takes off, and then he goes, trying to look for more, just to prove to the old croc that, no, you are not anything. This time he finds a crane, a bird by the side, and picks that crane and returns. But as he was returning close to the old croc, he noticed something else was happening. There was a big zebra, and this old croc was still quiet. And then briskly, in one sudden moment, the old croc takes off and grabs the zebra and pulls the zebra under the water. And it's lunchtime. And this young croc takes off and rushes back. How did you do that? How did you do that? He was busy munching. We can't even talk now. Halfway through, he looked at the young croc, says, I did nothing. £600 zebra. He did nothing. Continues to munch. And that's the lesson. He did nothing. He waited. Mm-hmm. He took position. He even had some nice sleep. Waiting for the right moment. Probably shifted position a little bit. Yawns, sleeps, wakes up, changes position. In one moment, he had this big zebra. I did nothing. I think we worked too hard. When we realize there is a partner with us, God is the partner. He never intended for work to be done without him. Back to Genesis chapter 1 and chapter 2. Two institutions you find there after God created man. He established two institutions. The first one we are told after he created man, the Bible says, and this is King James Version, God planted a garden. Hey, he had just spoken everything into being. Let there be light. Let there be this. Let there be this. When it came to work, to give man an example, the Bible says God planted a garden and put man there for to do what? To do exactly what he has just done. He's planted, and I need to keep planting and to keep toiling. So work is an institution created by God. And next, of course, is Adam had all these animals, none looked like him, and then he put Adam to sleep. Why we need sleep? Go at the old croc. The best things in your life happen when you renew. You get inspiration. You get wisdom. The best things. Adam had all these animals. Go back to the Genesis chapter 1. I've got no time to go with you there. But you go yourself and see how he had all these animals and named them. What wisdom. But the best of all was to have a wife. For that he couldn't find. None of these animals, not the zebra, not the croc, none looked like him. God put him to sleep. And the miracle came. The same thing we see with Abraham. The biggest covenant took place in Genesis 15. God put him to sleep. Go to Genesis 15. He put him to sleep. And then, boom, in that same day, God struck a covenant. Renewal, rest, inspiration is where God births the details of our good success and prosperity. Where have we left it behind? God has brought you here so you can hear this and start working on it. You work too much. Believers should work 2 hours and see the blessings of 10 hours. That's then you know you have a partner that's up there. If you work 40 hours and get 40 hours pay, come on! Why are you better than the ordinary person? I want your vision to rise up. I've got a partner and he can do a better job than me. And give him time. And you see what he will do. Work is a covenant between God and man. Marriage is a covenant that God has ordained between man and woman, and he is in the midst of it. Those two things, if you touch it, let him lead. Let him be part of it. It will help. They were never intended. Let me tell you something. What God intended for us to just do, as long as we keep to some rules, build a 20 skyscraper. You don't need prayer to do that, right? Build an aircraft. Build amazing things. But when you touch work, you will be sweating, except you let God be there. Your output cannot be compared with what you get. I mean, what you put in cannot be compared to what is sincerity. So when we expect God to be part of it, it's the beginning of wisdom. There are two things. The Bible talks about wisdom. And these are the two things the world takes time, your entire life, you are building. Okay? You're building relationship, marriage, building the work of your life. It's everything about you, your 24 hours of the day. So it's everything. We cannot afford to leave God behind. He's not interested. He's giving man the wisdom, you know, empowered man. He said, subdue the earth. So everything we see here, all is from the earth, in one way or the other. The original form comes from the earth. The clothes you're wearing, the table, the plastic, the building, all from this earth. He gave man the wisdom, bring it out and use it. But there is something, these two things, the work you do, God wants to be part of it. And then the relationships of your life. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
And those two can help you succeed or help you to fail. Help you to be successful and prosperous or help you to fail. Help you to be frustrated or help you to be fulfilled. And here's the point. Work was ordained by God. Let's talk about the purpose of it. The purpose of work by God is to bring out our talents and inbuilt abilities. Every human on earth is endowed with abilities. Not one is empty. And make sure you die empty by using everything. That's how you get fulfilled. The work pulls out all our potentials. No matter what's inside you, except you put it to work. No one knows. You don't even know. Work is ordained to pull out the entire potential in man. All humans are equipped for fulfillment. So work brings fulfillment. Work brings fulfillment. So here's the point. If you want to succeed at work, separate your pursuit of happiness from your pursuit of fulfillment. Your pursuit of happiness at the workplace can damage your purpose. The workplace is meant for fulfillment. It's everything, including happiness. But happiness on its own may not have fulfillment. So if you pursue fulfillment and the purpose of the workplace, you'll be happy. But if you pursue happiness in the workplace, you'll be empty of purpose and be frustrated. The workplace is a place for your talents and your gifts to thrive, contributing to building something of an enterprise. So, hear that word again. People who chase after happiness in the workplace will end up damaging their purpose and damaging relationships. But if you pursue purpose, you will have fulfillment, within which will be your happiness. So when you have two competing things, be careful. The pursuit of happiness can damage purpose. That is true. Okay? So my question to you is, who are you in the workplace, in the business place? Well, who are you? The employer would ask, what can you do? That's the basis of all interviews and employments. And if you are also employing people, that's all you look out for. What can you do? And everything we prepare in life to do in terms of trade or occupation, or everything you prepare for, it's about what we can do. But God will ask, who are you? If you mind who you are, you will begin to make the right choices and be fulfilled. The world will ask, what can you do? But God will ask, like he did to Adam, where are you? So two questions, who are you, where are you? They go together. Who are you, where are you? I did put something up here. Can I have this now, the people thing? Have a look at this. How are you doing? Where do you belong? Where are you? Who are you? Those who are you will fix. If you stay with that question and keep asking God, who am I? What are my tools for fulfillment? What are my tools? I understand that I came into this earth equipped by God to do work that will pull out my potential. And in pulling out my potential, I will be fulfilled and I will be building an enterprise on it. That's what happens. But who am I? Where am I? In the garden, God will ask, where are you, Adam? So we need to ask the kind of question that God would like to ask us. Because we will be accountable at the end of the day. Accountable. Let me tell you this. For the packaging of your being in terms of tools, some of us are a people person naturally. Some of us are a money-making person naturally. That doesn't spoil you. It's just how you go about it. But it's God's talent. The Bible calls that witty in business. Solomon was one of that. He was just witty. Think about David and Solomon. Both of them were kings. But you know what? They all functioned according to their packaging. You know, David, in our world, he would have been, I think, Mayweather. What's his name? Somebody Mayweather. Boxer. Floyd Mayweather. Give me another one. Wrestler.
Booker T.
Good one. Good. If David was a fighter, he had a talent for fighting, even from youth. He was just a youth when he came from the backside where he was keeping the, you know, flock of his father to fight Goliath. You know the story. You know? He was a fighter. He was skilled and equipped to fight. I look at a man like George Foreman. All his mates are most gone now, but the guy is still there. He's a Christian man. And just getting that aligned to everything he was doing, he became a pastor and then he came back again to fight. He needed some more money. He was amazing. He was, you know, trying to help a lot of people, build a place for young people to train and just. And then his money was going. He said, I got to go back and fight and get some money for the ministry. So he went and fought the second time and he won again and got the millions and he still, you know. But what I'm trying to say is that, I'm not saying you should go and fight. I don't like the boxing stuff of beating themselves, but that's all right. My point is this. David was a fighter. Go read his journey through fighting. But you know his wisdom? That's what I'm going to be asking him to do, and that's what we should all do. Excuse me, God, shall I go or shall I stay? God says, go. He takes off. He wins. Then the next time, the same Philistines gathered together. He said, excuse me, God. He didn't take it for granted. He said, yes, the other time, maybe he will say, let me just go. No! He waited.
inspiration, renewal. He asked God, listen to me, the same Philistines he defeated after asking God, should I? God said, go. He defeated them. The same Philistines regrouped and they came. He still went back to God. Shall I go? He kept asking. And they hear what God told him this time. Same Philistines, but his strategy has changed. The Lord said, don't go. Wait until you hear the sound of the going forth in the top of the mulberry trees. When you hear that sound, it's called timing. Then you shall go. He waited. These Philistines were making noise and laying all human strategy. And that's what's going on in the workplace. All occultic people are doing their own consulting. And believers are so naive, they won't settle down and get the weapons they want to fight. I wonder why they are losing. Well, your opponents are consulting. And you have the Holy Ghost, you get a better consulting. And so the Philistines were consulting and doing their charming and everything. He went back to God. And God said, you wait until you hear the sound. He waited. And when he heard the sound, he got his army. They took off. They won.
Yeah.
But look at Solomon, his son. David was a man of war. In fact, when the time came for him to build the temple, because don't mind David, he did some excess stuff. God says, stop here. He went further. That's David for you. Sometimes it's not about not doing what God says, it's about overdoing what God says.
Yeah.
Well, leave that matter. But his son comes on the scene. Also, the same business. Governance, as I will show shortly. But the same palace, if you like, but his equipping was different. That's why I'm asking, who are you? Are you taking you that God equipped to the workplace? It doesn't matter where you are right now. Looking into the future, you must start navigating gradually so you won't die before your time. There's something called fulfillment. Within it is happiness. If you don't chase fulfillment, you'll be chasing happiness and it will damage your fulfillment. And then here comes Solomon. You know his own? Was he a man of war? No. The exact opposite. A man of peace. David became wealthy by fighting and using his talent. His father. But for him, he was born a man of peace. But you know his own talent? He has a talent for Proverbs. Proverbs. Telling Proverbs wisdom.
Wisdom.
So for this David, he goes to war. Oh, I read one chapter 8. Boy, David, absolute amazing. From beginning to the end, war, and all of that. He gathered all the riches back home. He became a wealthy king. But Solomon, no way. He sits in one place. He opens his mouth. The sky, the earth, he speaks. People write. Bam. And the queen of Sheba heard it from afar, brought riches. Two people in the same professional career, but each one used their gift and they have the riches. So it's not what you do, it's who you are. It's who you are. So find who you are. Let's go this way. Thanks, El Shiva. How are you doing? Where are you? Two questions. God will ask you, who are you? Where are you? It doesn't matter where you are. Look forward to, and you might be in the right place. It will give you confidence. And maybe there are some things you need to add to where you are so that you can be you. You add it. Two people can be, you know, can be, I can give too many examples. Let me just go from here. Let's go from here. Let's go this way. Yeah. Next one. Next page. Like, these are just general. How many of you feel you are a people person? Oh, really? Wow. Exciting. Okay, a people person. And then we have a money-making person. Part of God's talents, by the way. We have Jehoshaphat. Solomon, one of his talents was also business. He had ships on the high sea. He sits as a king. He had the wisdom. Boom. I have one of my brothers. No, no, that one, not the one in ministry. Some of you know Peter, not Peter. I have another brother. One day I told him, I said, you know what? He lost business from the early 70s. In our little village, he was one of those with the big car in the early 70s. One day I told him, I said, brother, you are not wired for business. He said, eh? I said, you are not, you are causing trouble too much. You should go and be a pastor. He carries business money and distributes everything, not even seeing the TV. He just supports everybody until he goes into debt. He comes out after 2 years. I said, brother, you are not. Go and be a pastor. Join us. Hey. No. I told him, this man, you know, it took him 10 years after that. He is a pastor right now. We had this, I never forget, early 72, he was the first one to buy a, this, we call it a baki, you know, in South Africa, we call it a baki. He, beautiful, everybody knows him in town. He had that, but you know what? He gets this money today. What do you need? This one? Help, help. He's gone. Next week he's in debt. I said, don't have the grace.
Yeah.
Get up. I told him. Remember, he came to 1992. I remember we leaned in front. He came to our, when we were pastoring. We leaned like this outside. And I told him, I said, brother, you are my own. He's older than me. I said, you know what? You are my senior. Let me tell you, as a pastor, I've seen your potential. You are not meant to be a businessman. Stop it. He said, really? He said, nobody. I said, I'm telling you. He fought, he struggled. 10 years he came out as a pastor. Wow. Went back to Bible college, the theology, said, pastor. Amen. Took him 10 years. He's a people person. But he has desire for money making. And he has a talent there, but it's not meant to be used there. That's why I say, who you are and where you are need to connect. A money making person, or in between, okay? Then we have a money making and intellectual person, an intellectual person, and there are those in between, okay? So you just gotta walk, know who you are, and where you are meant to function, in what area. There are too many areas out there. It's a journey. As you keep discovering it, you'll be turning the steering of your life gradually. Don't make it abrupt. If you make it abrupt, your vehicle can somersault. You know what I'm talking about? Some of you are in circumstances now. You just discover it prayerfully and be turning the steering. I know where I'm going. And be turning the steering of your destiny. Until you get where you are right now, it can be the ultimate, by the way. It can also be the gateway to the real place. God will show you. I say God will reveal to you.
Yeah.
We need inspiration. We need renewal. The workplace is not meant for this kind of sweating we are doing. It's a place with God you can do in 2 hours that will produce a 10-hour result.
Amen.
If not, then why are we having God as our partner? Let's talk. Amen. If we are doing 10 hours and getting the pay of 10 hours like everybody,
it's not worth it.
Where is God? I don't like normal stuff. If God be God.
Yes. Amen.
How many of you can say God be God?
God be God.
Let's get our God on the scene.
Yes.
Amen?
Amen.
Is there something else there that I missed? What's there? Yeah, all right. A people person, let's get more detail. Look at that. A people person. Politician. Oh, sorry. Governance. People person does not automatically mean pastor. No. There are those who may be called to look after the physical, material side of people.
Yeah.
Governance. And we need believers there. Mm-hmm.
Amen.
I was going to talk about this on Sunday, and then I saw Mara in church. I said, oh, you are there. You. She's on for God. We pray. God will guide you.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. And then you can be a people person to supply people's spiritual needs. People need the spiritual. Mm-hmm. They need the physical as well. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
The roads are going well. We'll have less accidents, right? Mm-hmm. Hospital is doing good. What a blessing. Mm-hmm. We need to cater for both this side, and people will find themselves in. And there are people in between. Maybe yours is 50% people. Or 50% is really there to make money. Oh, yeah. in between. Okay? I just classify that in between. Let's go to the next one. Some have a great talent for making money. Oh, sorry. Yeah, that one you put, yes. The one you put earlier was fine. They're making money. Yeah, this one can go that way in a different career, trade, or whatever, career that side, trade this way. And in between, we have in between. In between can be very powerful, I'm telling you. A little bit of this, a little bit of that. Okay? And then let's go to the other one. Could be you have a gift of the mind. Okay? An intellectual person could go that way of disseminating knowledge or deep into research, and in between people, just general picture to just try to, something sparks in you and you can identify. Sometimes you have a major and a minor, okay? Okay, a major and a minor. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
You need to find that out. But you need to pour out this person before you die.
Yes.
It will give you fulfillment. You'll be rewarded by God, which is the purpose for which you were created. And I can tell you, there will be a legacy left behind.
Yes.
Absolutely. Okay? We're done with that? Yeah. Okay, and then in between, yes. Just work that out, in between. Okay, I'm just watching the time, and we're going to be taking questions. Actually, I told you we're going to stop somewhere. If you want to do something about the inspiration side, go look in the Bible about the what's that bird? Eagle. Oh, beautiful. Read this story. You can actually Google it and read how it will, it will help you. It will give you wisdom. Jesus always spoke to people with parables and the ant. Look at it. In the book of Proverbs, look at the ant. Look at this. Look at the birds. If your father can look after them, these birds neither toil nor spin, and your heavenly father looks after them. Come on, have a sleep and trust God. Amen?
Amen.
So that would be for inspiration. You need to step aside every week, every time, every as soon as you can, you'll be inspired. You will see, come out of this. You people go to the workplace, they just walk. And you are not even seeing when your health is giving warning signs. When the Holy Spirit is trying to tell you, stop here, you're not getting it. Friends, we need to pull back. We need to reestablish our partnership with the Holy Spirit. That's my prayer for you today.
Yes.
And I'm going to pray. The distractions must stop.
Amen.
I said, I tell you what, the distractions are going to multiply. God said, you should blow the trumpet and tell his people, don't get lost in the crowd.
Yeah.
The pressures will not stop so soon. It's increasing, like the prophet Daniel had said. And he said, the enemy will try to weary the saints. The unbelievers are going through the same thing. But you are losing too much energy. Let's pull back and get some wisdom.
Yeah.
You can achieve more. You can have more results for your impact.
Yes.
You can work less and see more. Say with me, work less and see more.
See more.
Woo, hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Father, we believe you for that. Now, questions can go. If you have questions, send them in so we don't get here too distracted. Send your questions into that, and Elisheba will be there. Admin at, All right, let's, Esther.
Yes.
There is that red laptop.
Yes.
Okay, Elisheba needs that at your end. Yeah. Ah, wonderful. Wonderful. I'm going to be praying as well, so I might as well start praying now if you are ready for that, and then we'll get the questions in before we close. Thank you. And then there will also be the power.
It's
also
in
the back.
To you?
No, to her.
What's
yes.
Excuse me.
She will access all the questions from there. We'll take whatever we can take for today. But hey, that's good. At least we've got it started. And we'll look forward to the next one. Session, if you keep in touch, we will let you know the next one. We just decided to catch up with the Labor Day, today's holiday at least, and well, let's talk about it. Every time we focus the word of God in a particular area, things start happening. Glory be to God. So, Father, we thank you for that in the name of Jesus. I want you to remember that old crocodile. He achieved so much. The young crocodile just goes off to catfish, get a little crane. This guy is there. He's waiting. He's waiting. You know, a long time ago, I read a story that resonated really good with me in the context of the book of Ecclesiastes, where it says, talking about riches and wealth. The book of Ecclesiastes is very powerful. If you read Ecclesiastes and Proverbs, you become wiser in dealing with the affairs of life, seriously. But in the book of Ecclesiastes, where it talks about, it says, time and chance. I think that should be chapter 9. Time and chance happens to them all.
Yes.
Kind of stood up there in just like on the mountaintop and looks down on it. And through the Spirit of God, he said, I can see the poor, the rich, look at them. But there are two things, and this is true. He said, time and chance. The word chance means opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
Happens to them all.
Yeah.
Be at the right place at the right time. That's why you have to believe God. Labor. And labor doesn't make you rich, really. Seriously, we have to labor, we know that, but on its own, there are many people laboring that are not getting there. Time, somebody say time.
Time.
When it comes to time in the New Testament, that's what the Lord put in the hand of the Holy Spirit.
Mm.
He reveals the time to his children, to God's children.
That's right. Yes.
Don't joke with that. I'm serious about that. Serious talk. When they ask him in Acts chapter 1, read from verse 5 to 8. Don't go to 8 straight away. You shall receive power in the Holy Ghost, because I talked about power and wisdom. Mm-hmm. That power and wisdom helps you to gauge the time and to take a step of miracles.
Yeah.
And so they ask him, will you at this time, King James Version says, will you at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? Everything we are going through till the rapture is restoration. Continue until a new heaven and earth. That's the program of restoration. And it's in the hand of the Holy Spirit. From the moment Jesus finished his part and took off, I'll send you the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
He will comfort you. The pressure in the workplace, we need comfort.
Yes.
I am telling you, we need comfort. And from that time, timing is in the hand of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
And we need to seek God for the Holy Spirit to reveal timing. So will you at this time restore? So two things, restoration and timing. Everything the enemy has done, we are on a journey of restoration.
Yeah.
In the workplace, in the relationship, in the marriage place, believe for restoration.
Amen.
Jesus has finished the work, and we need to see the manifestation of what
yes.
he has finished.
Amen.
Will you at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? Jesus said this. It's not for you in your human power.
Wow.
In your human wisdom. That's what it means. It's not for you to know the time which the Father has placed in his own hands. Oh, wow. I can't wait for the next statement. But you shall receive power to know the time. I'm helping you to open it up because it's about timing. Will you at this time restore? They were looking at the natural Israel, which is part of it, and then the spiritual. Will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? It's not for you to know the time
Amen.
Which the Father has put in his own hands, but you shall receive power
mm-hmm.
when the Holy Ghost, which Holy Ghost? 1 Corinthians 1 and 2. God reveals them to us by his Spirit. Eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man what God has prepared for those. Isaiah said, wait on him.
Yeah.
Corinthians says, those who love him.
Yeah.
If you love him, you wait on him.
Mm-hmm.
It's
yes,
the same.
Yes, yes.
The Holy Ghost will reveal. The natural man, stop being natural in the workplace. The natural man cannot receive them because they are spiritually discerned.
Yes.
The Holy Ghost wants to reveal the problem that's about to come in your workplace. What your boss is going to do, what your subordinate is going to do, what the colleagues might want to do. God can reveal it in a dream. God can show you what step you take, and that's it. What would have been your demotion becomes your promotion.
Amen.
Come on! How many of you
yes.
know?
Yes. Amen.
When you draw close to God on this, your work, on your business, and your career, and your academic, God will draw close to you.
Amen.
for those who are studying, I can't, in every area really. So don't exclude anything. God is great. You're studying because of the workplace. You're going to be working. You're going to solve. It comes down to that. Okay, but also, so let me tell you how God can work for you. I was doing some studies some few years ago, and I said, I'm in ministry day and night. God said, do it for the sake of the future of ministry in this country. Do it now. I said, oh, really? This brain has gone to sleep, I can tell you. And I prayed a prayer by the Holy Ghost. Lord, I need 30 hours of the week. God, I can secure 10 hours. I was doing 60 hours for the ministry. I'll pull back 10 because the study is part of the ministry anyway. I'll put 10. Lord, bless this 10 to become like 30. How about that? And I'm going, oh, yeah. Guess what? That's what happened. I'd had only 10 hours, but when I hit the ground running, boom, I succeed 30 hours in terms of productivity. I had a deal with God. It worked.
Yeah.
It worked for me. Amen. I finished that program in 1 year. Finished it in 1 year. That's it. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
If you engage him, he will engage you.
Amen.
You draw close to him on this matter. The thing is that we talk to him about, Lord, I need healing. Lord, I need this. But what about the wisdom we need in this area? Lord, give me wisdom. Give me your power. The prayer you need to pray that changes things overnight.
Mm-hmm.
It may look dark and bleak. For 10 weeks, keep seeking God. One day, God will wake you up in the night. You speak a word of prayer. Boom! You wake up in the morning. Boy, things have changed overnight.
Yeah.
That's how God works.
Amen.
The enemy may be at work for 99 years. God doesn't need one day. One minute to do a miracle for you.
Hallelujah.
That will roll back everything the enemy has done.
Yes, hallelujah.
That's the God we serve.
Yes. Amen.
Lift up your hands to God.
Yes.
Say, Father, I come into a covenant with you. I renew my covenant with you. Holy Spirit, I invite you today.
I renew the covenant.
Be my senior partner.
I will consult you.
Like the eagle, I will wait on you.
Like the old crocodile,
I will have faith and patience. In the name of Jesus. Come on, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We have a question already?
Yeah.
Because I'm running out of time.
Yeah. Question number one. Just how does a person find their passion? How do we find that perfect will of God for our lives, especially for young people?
Thank you very much. Quickly, I can go 10 directions, but I'll go this way, as I feel from the Lord now. First of all, understand that there are 3 levels of the will of God for your life. 3 stages of the will of God. I'll call them in three different ways in line with scriptures. It's called the good, 1, the good will of God. 2, the acceptable will of God. 3, the perfect will of God. That is in Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. The more you become spiritual, the more it becomes easy to discern. Through prayer, through the word, it will start coming. Bit by bit. Is that all right?
Yes.
I know my plans for you, plans of good, not of evil. The starting point is the good, the acceptable, and God will perfect things for you.
Amen.
Okay? Now let's integrate that into Mark chapter 4. First, the blade. So that number one, you can see, put it another way. Number one, or you go back to number one and put the blade. Go to number two and put the ear. And then go to number three and put the full corn in the ear, in line with Mark chapter 4. You are still there. Is that all right?
Yeah.
First the ear, the blade, okay? And then we can also put it in another way, another scripture. Go to the first one, 30-fold. Go to the second one, 60-fold. Go to the third one, 100-fold. In 3 different directions. You can understand it the way you want to understand it. So here's the point. According to the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 9,
What starting point? Whatever your hands find to do, do it.
Yeah.
For there is no wisdom in the grave where you're on your way to. If you do nothing, you're headed for the grave. Even your body cells will take notice that it's time to go. If you keep it at work, you keep going. If you're pursuing and working towards your purpose will keep you alive beyond the stopping line. The devil marks all sorts of things. If you are following your purpose, the devil knows this purpose is why you were born. He can't even stop you.
Amen.
You will go beyond the stopping line. Even sickness and diseases, no. I can't forget the story of Dottie Austin, 1981. She was dying of terminal cancer. Doctors have finished everything. They say, go home and die, or you stay here and die in the U.S. They give us a few days. She said, okay, if I stay, I'll die. If I go home, you say, I'll die. Let me go home and be with Jesus. So she went and sat with the Word of God day and night. She said, if I'm dying, what am I going to do stuff out there? I'm going to stay here with the Word day and night. She looked at all the scriptures on healing. And found some powerful ones and stayed meditating and praying.
Amen. Oh,
the deadline came, it was moved forward.
Yes.
2 months, 3 months, she went for a check. Yes. She's still alive as far as I know, wow. Since 1981.
Yeah.
130
years now. Amen.
She aligned herself to the Word of God for the purpose she was born,
yes.
And demons can't even stop that.
Amen.
Amen. So, the Bible says, whatever your hands find, wherever you are right now, that's what it means that whatever your hands find to do is fine. As long as it's not bad, it's not evil, it's good. That's it. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So wherever you are, whatever you are doing, as long as it's not illegal, it's not wrong, before morally wrong or whatever wrong, it's good, it's the good will of God. Choose the good, reject the evil.
Amen.
Then, while you are there, realize that you will seek God for his plan to be made known to you. My pastor so many years ago spoke to me, I will never forget. I was a young minister and I was sitting in the car with him. We were driving from a meeting and he said to me, Paul, I don't even know the topic of that discussion, but I will never forget. He said to me, Paul, do you know, that was maybe 88. Paul, do you know that God's will for you is revealed to you on request by you?
Oh, wow.
If you don't pray towards it, it will not be clear. If you, you will go be doing your own thing.
Yeah.
And God will still be God. But when you start asking and seeking and knocking, everyone will start moving.
Yeah.
It changed my life. And years later, I found, and I thought, he must have been speaking from, he just paraphrased. And I think that's Jeremiah 29, one of my best scriptures, Jeremiah 29, in terms of the plan of God. Jeremiah 29, verse 11. And people stop at verse 11. Please don't. Get the context. 12, 13. 29, 11 says, I know my plans for you. And I think all believers will quote that one. Even with a cup of coffee and nice ice cream, you can just cream it up. I know my plans for you, plans of good and not of evil, to give you a future and to bring you to an expected end. I hear you. But go to the next verse. God said, if you want it, you love it, then you shall come and pray unto me.
Yes.
And if that were all, you can go to sleep. Mm-hmm. No. Next verse. And seek me with all your heart. Then I will be found of you. Your plan is too precious to be thrown on you. You find it.
Amen.
On your knees.
Amen.
Seek it. Like, this is all I need. God said, if you value it, go for it.
Yeah.
If you go for it, you will find it.
Yes.
And when you find it, you can wander off it because you know what it took you to find it.
That's so good.
Amen. Yes. So what do we do? Where you are now, let me give you some bit of relaxation. You are in a stage. Every one of us is in a stage of the plan of God. But while you are there, start asking, Lord, What is your perfect will for me? Ephesians 5:20 says, proving the will of God. Proving, actually, this is what it says. Proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. So that number two, you have to be proven. You pray, you meditate, you check yourself. Who am I? You put it on paper. You say, what does this mean, Lord? You get back to scriptures. Look at the example. Look, read books about other people. Whoever you are, there are types of you already who have gone ahead of you. One of the things we need in this generation is to look back so we can look forward with wisdom. Everything you are doing, there are people who have gone ahead of you. You know, the Bible says there's a generation that don't recognize those that have gone ahead. It's bad. It's terrible stuff. You know, we went, Elisha and I, we went for a graduation ceremony of, actually it was Nama Kao, some of you know her, in Brisbane. She was graduating masters in business administration. And we were there in this graduation. Something happened I will never forget. Oh, of course, they would say, oh, young people, by the way, we were a few of us, and there was others, elder people, but the speaker for the day, he was a middle-aged person. And he said, this, remember, these are business administration and management people, MBA. He asked them, he said, how many of you know Peter Drucker? Nobody. Peter Drucker. These are MBA students graduating. So, is there many of you? So, I thought, finally I put up my hand and they were, when I look at a few people, they were just middle-aged people. He knows, and a few people only. And he said, you don't know Peter Drucker? They don't know. Can I tell you? Peter Drucker is considered the father of modern day management. I don't know what they are learning. They are forgetting the So I've never heard of Peter Drucker until I heard it in class in the 80s. Father of modern day management. I can't forget that. And now here are MBA current students. They don't even know. What are you building when you ignore the foundation? It's terrible. We have all the knowledge except the wisdom. And that set me thinking, that was 2 years ago, and I said, no, I'm going to research Peter Drucker. And now, because I've been giving some lectures on management to some of the people in the Institute of Management. So one of the students, she's MBA student as well. So I was going to take her 1 hour for four months. So I said, oh, let me just research Peter Drucker. I went to the internet. What did I find? There is a movement. Has been going on for 10 years. Peter Drucker movement is gathering storm, very big all around Europe. In November, they had the annual meeting convention. I thought, now I'm relieved. Founding fathers, what they said, it's still valid. What am I saying that? I'm saying anything you want to be, there are people who have been near there already. Yeah. Check how they got it. When we started our, God said we started traveling to the nations. We went to some men of God we knew through their books we read. How were you going? How did you handle this? It made the Bible clear. Mm-hmm. Books on the Bible makes the Bible clear. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So we asked, coming back to the answer to that question, where you are is great, but be seeking God. Read books of people in that area. Find out the mistakes they made, the good thing they did. God will help you.
Amen.
If we neglect them, we neglect their wisdom.
Yeah.
And in their wisdom is their success and failures. Is that all right?
Yes. Preach it. Thank you.
Good.
A passion. What you enjoy doing.
What you enjoy, let me tell you this. What you enjoy doing is an indicator. It's like the indicator of a car. It gives an indication of where you belong, but does not necessarily tell you where you belong.
Yeah.
What you enjoy doing is linked to your talents, your abilities, and sometimes your training. Anything you are not trained for example, you won't enjoy doing it. But if you know how to do it, that's it. And even your gift and talent needs to be trained. Okay? So your talent, anything you enjoy doing is an indicator. Take the name indicator very seriously. I couldn't find any better word than that. And I've used that for years. Do you know the indicator of a car? Okay, look at this traffic light in front of here. How many of you came by this road? You came? Okay, when you get to this place, what do? You indicate to the right. Let's assume you're coming this way. You indicated to go to the right. It shows a probability. One, you could be coming to the shopping center. Two, you could be going the other way to that, was it sports club?
Yeah.
Or even going behind here.
Yeah.
So your indicator assures us you're not going to go left, you're not going to go straight, minus, minus, all those one, but it does not tell us where you will stop.
Yeah.
Your gift will indicate certain areas, but you have to seek God for the calling. The real you, where to use your gift. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Because the same gift can be effective here, can be effective here, can be effective here, but it doesn't mean you belong to all those places.
Yeah.
It's the calling that helps the gift to nowhere.
Yeah. Yes.
That's a huge question, but let's leave it like that for now. So how many of you know we need more of this workshop?
Yes, please.
We are past our time, I guess. Any other question there?
Yeah.
Thank you, Elishiba.
Why are so many Christians not able to find work, even though they pray? I know many who are prayerful.
Yeah.
And are without work.
Yeah.
And they depend on others to look after their families.
Yes, okay. That is why let's start from the natural realm. We have those who look after the natural realm. Is that right? Those in governance. So we need to be part of that system and pray for them. Pray for those in authority, the Bible says, because it just helps us to, certain things are taken care of, isn't it? Okay, now let's come back to the spiritual side. Look, first of all, we need to keep praying for one another, right? Some things we need to pray, more people need to pray, the person needs to pray, and just the way things are in life, and put out our faith and our believe God for it. However, there are other things surrounding that. For example, I've seen people who are looking for work only to discover that God has actually prepared to make them to be the employer, and they were just looking the wrong place. And eventually, talking to them, I discovered they had their fears. God wants them to jump this way, they want to go this way, and then the doors are not opening. Okay?
Yeah,
and true. Other side of the things is that sometimes you find that in a time of preparation, certain work can make you to miss certain things as well. Too many sides to that. We need faith and patience, isn't it? As long as we are pressing for it, as long as we are pressing for it, somebody's time may not be your time. Another person's time may not be the other person's time, but we are pressing for it, and suddenly somebody didn't have work for 3 years, he gets the first job in 1 year, he gets what the other person didn't get for 5 years. What can God not do? So I'm just looking at all the sides of this matter. Most important thing is that let's ask, and let's ask in faith. As we ask, let's get the wisdom for it. Let the Holy Spirit really guide us. The yoke can be broken. Like I said, 99 years for the devil, God doesn't need 1 day. In 1 second, he can undo the works of 99 years and give you a restoration and use to the glory of God. Yes, please say.
Yeah, it's also possible that Christians who can be praying and God may be telling you something, but because you don't like that particular job. You know, many people do that because they don't like that particular job. So even when God is saying, that's what you should do now. You see, with God, it's not where you start.
Amen.
You know, but be doing something. That is what God wants you to do.
Yes.
Whatever your hands find to do.
Do it. All your heart. The best will come.
Yes. Like, we had a session back then. He was teaching on divine creativity and then and the ability that God has given us. There was this lady, she's a university graduate, and she's been carrying her certificates around, applying for jobs, and she's not getting it. But she comes to church, and when he was teaching on that, and then God started telling her, you start making that thing. She's like,
yeah,
I am at my class, at my level of education, I cannot come down and do this. So she, for many years, she was struggling, the husband was working so hard to catch up with the family.
Then this particular day, she said, okay, Lord, I surrender. I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
And do you know the prosperity of the parents, of the family? The house that they own came out of her humility that she agreed to humble herself.
Yeah.
And did what God has been putting in her heart, even though it's not what she did in her certificate.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's not what her area of education, but just that drop in her spirit, and she humbled herself, did it, and then things just exploded.
That's
they built house out of it, bought vehicles, bought trucks that they sent as trucks for carrying people's business. You know, they will go, people will buy items, you know, transport business, you know, out of that same kind of business. Somebody came and met her there the second week of taking that, humbling herself. Somebody came and said, I want you to supply me these items. She's like, no, I'm not a supplier. He said, but I just feel like you should be the one to supply.
Amen.
And God met her at that place of humility to start from where God wants her to be. You never know, the connections you need may be tied to that humble beginning.
Amen. Yeah.
Thank you. Good, good, good.
Yeah.
We have to end.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
Father, we thank you for...
Yes,
I know we have more questions, but we'll take it next time. Father, we just thank you for your presence, for your word, and thank you for this participation and this sharing, Father God, and the questions that have come out of this, Father God. Now, Father, we trust you that what you have begun to do, the spark you have started off in our lives, Father, by your spirit, Lord, let it result in an outcome to the glory of your name.
Yes.
We bless the work of the hands of your people.
Yes, Lord.
There's a place for the blessing. So we pronounce the blessing of the Almighty God to rest upon you, rest upon the work of your hands. The Lord causes his face to shine upon you continually. From this conference, you are hearing God at another new level. May God continue to speak to you. May you continue to build on the truth.
Yes.
And may your answers come quickly, speedily. For the Lord will say, thou hast well seen. I will hasten my word to perform. I declare the scales fall from your eyes.
Yes.
I declare that you have godly dreams, divine directions, visions, and revelations.
Yes.
From this time forward, in the mighty name of Jesus.
Yes.
Thank you, Heavenly Father. Jesus' name. Come on, let's praise the Lord.
Amen.
Thank you all. I'm glad you made it. And please do put, if you put down your name and email with Sharon's list, then we can let you know when the next one is coming. God bless. Coffee downstairs and water.
Did you make dinner?
We had spiritual dinner, Mary. Thank you all for your participation, Mary.
Yeah.
Very good. Okay. See, the weather went so dark, it's just about 5:30 now. Yeah. I think the people were really ready and we went even more beyond the time, but they were okay.
It's good, isn't it?
Yeah. That's right. That's right. Yeah. Okay.
I love it. I love it. And here am I.